Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We're to pursue peace with all people. Now, this isn't the kumbaya, we're all in agreement type of a peace. Like we all harmonize together, you know. Yeah, you are a murderer and you hate people, but there's common ground. We both have blood. And so let's just get along. No, this is a peace that, it's a process of really putting yourself in the right place and right frame of mind. Because there are some you just can't have peace with because they're antagonizing. They won't let peace happen.
Jesus desires that we pursue peace with all people. This doesn't mean that we will agree with all people or that we will be best friends with everyone. Today, Pastor Troy reminds you that Jesus only commands you to hold up peace on your end. It's up to others to receive it and to enter into that peace with you. Jesus was not at peace with everyone when he walked on this earth. He was constantly threatened and eventually betrayed by those he tried to love. Still, you are called to peace, so hold up your end of the deal. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 12 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're going to talk about getting a spiritual alignment, or we're going to get a spiritual alignment. An alignment, as I found out, as a 20-something, when I had my little Geo Metro vehicle that I never got aligned, is essential to reducing shake in a vehicle, which mine shook a lot, 60 miles an hour. I've told you the story. It shook so hard that I had a cassette player that warbled because we were shaking so much. So, tires aligned, balance rotated. Alignment is important because it keeps us from pulling to the right or to the left. Without a proper alignment, your car wants to go one way or the other. And the result of an alignment is the car goes straight. Without a lot of difficulty, you can go straight. If you ask the vehicle, and the vehicles don't talk, they don't have feelings, but if you could ask the vehicle, how does it feel to get in alignment? Probably say it hurts. I mean, it hurts being out of alignment, but aligning hurts. I know this because braces are aligning also. And if you've ever had braces, it doesn't feel good when they first crank them down and your teeth start to shift and align. Can't even bite into butter, you know? And so it hurts. Well, the Hebrews have a pull. To the right or to the left, I don't know. But the persecution around them is getting to them because they're friends and family. They're individuals who what they say hurts them. And so they're pulled to the right or to the left, and they're wondering, should we just, do a 180? Not necessarily 188. We'll still keep our eyes on the Lord, but perhaps we should compromise, and we do miss all those things, and there's nothing wrong with those things, right? Because God established those things. Because of the persecution, they're feeling like they're being pulled. So the author tells them about two things that are very important for those who belong to the Lord. Peace and holiness. And these are important in the position that they find themselves in. Peace, because we should not become argumentative, defiant, vindictive, defensive, and holiness, because there is a separation taking place. And so you can expect this. It reminds us of our Lord's high priestly ministry, right? In Hebrews 7, we learn that he's the King of peace and the King of righteousness. These are things that are a must in our life. if we're going to align ourselves with the Lord, if we're going to make right decisions and respond properly in a wrong world, if we're going to drive straight and not be pulled to the right or to the left. And so in verse 14, we read, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. First thing we want to consider, if we're going to align ourselves, is that we need to calibrate our pursuits. We need to calibrate our pursuits. The idea is that you don't just sit and wait for Him to make you holy. You don't just sit and say, Lord, bring me peace. You pursue this. There is an action on your part, an activity on your part to pursue these things. I learned to calibrate my thermometer when I was in air conditioning and refrigeration, because you don't want to stick your thermometer in a refrigerator or in something and it's not calibrated. And you go, oh, it's running fine. It's a great temperature. Because you're wrong. You're not calibrated properly. And so they taught us that ice water is 32 degrees. Perfectly. Because when ice hardens, 32 is the freezing point. So anything harder, it can go 32, 31 and below. But ice begins to melt at 32 because there's a transition that takes place at 32 degrees. That's water. So when you have that perfect mixture, ice and water, it's at 32 degrees. It's changing state. Put it in the freezer, it's changing cold. It's getting colder. It's going to stay 32 degrees until it's totally frozen. But if you set the ice water out, it's going to warm up. But it's going to stay 32 degrees until the ice is melted. So you have to calibrate your little thermometer so you have a right temperature, and they taught us how to do that. We have to calibrate our hearts, our consciences, our pursuits, and God has told us how we calibrate it. Not by our experiences, not by our opinions, our thoughts. My thing is by the Word of God. We calibrate ourselves by the Word of God. It gives us the right, accurate measurement for our life. The right balance, so that you have a clear view of what's important, what's right, and what's wrong. We have a tendency to get bent out of shape because we put the wrong priorities on the wrong things, and so we get upset about certain things. We will argue with one another because maybe the wife said, I was going to go get a birthday gift and we were all going to go at this time and you had planned to watch the game. And we get upset, angry, and argue like it's a big deal, life or death. We're not calibrated. It's not that big a deal, the game or actually the birthday gift. Neither of them are that important that there should be a war in the home. But we're not calibrated. We're not focusing on the right things. And then we don't know how to handle the situations. So, we're to pursue peace with all people. Now, this isn't the kumbaya, we're all in agreement type of a peace. Like we all harmonize together, you know. Yeah, you are a murderer and you hate people, but there's common ground. We both have blood. And so let's just get along. No, this is a peace that... it's a process of really putting yourself in the right place and right frame of mind. Because there are some you just can't have peace with because they're antagonizing. They won't let peace happen. And so you can't hold on to them and fight the fight. We're going to have peace or I'll kill you. That's not how you pursue peace. He says, okay, if you're a constant antagonist, then for me to bring peace in my world around me, I cannot associate with you. It's a separation. But we pursue peace with them, but sometimes that's impossible. And so we must pursue peace without them, rather than getting and locking horns and staying in the fight, staying in the battle. Pursue peace instead. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes I remember being in high school. Sometimes there's that student behind who's just kind of that bully that's flicking people's ears. You can't be at peace with them. Stop it. Stop it. It doesn't happen. You know how you pursue peace? You move. You don't get up and hit him. That's not pursuing peace. You move. In our nation, we pursue peace. But in our nation, it's a little different. We can't just move. We can't just stand back and watch things unfold because criminal activity doesn't stop because the good boy stands still. When it comes to national peace, you have to have defenses. You have to sometimes go to war because they keep antagonizing. So war is essential at times for the government, but not so much for the individual. For us, we can walk away from a situation. But you can pursue peace even if there's an antagonist. All you have to do is not throw a spear back. David pursued peace with Saul. Saul kept trying to start a war with David. Came after him all the time. Started throwing spears at him. And David didn't take the spears. Though we don't know, the Bible would be very, very thick if it told us every thought in a person's heart. We don't know if David thought, all right, I'm just getting out of here. I could have thrown that thing. But he didn't throw it. If he had thrown it, we would have seen another spear or a fight or it would have escalated and then it would have been just like the dramas we have on television now that we're entertained by. But he didn't do that. David was a man after God's own heart and he trusted God so that he didn't have to feel like he had to defend himself. You threw a spear at me, well, I've got to throw something back to let you know I'm aware, to let you know I'm right, to let you know you can't do this. He didn't do that. He let God be his defense. He didn't lower himself to the place of the other person.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
See, it's the person who feels like they have to respond that lowers themselves. Yes, what they did was wrong. What they said was wrong. But as soon as you say it back, you're on equal ground. No, they started it, but you're even. You're equal. And sometimes you top them. So learning to pursue peace is a process for us. It's overcoming the flesh that wants to defend itself. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A harsh word doesn't get even. It stirs up. It provokes. No one calls you a name where you don't go, okay, good, my turn. I'm going to call you a name, and they go, well, good, all right, good, we're even. That never happens. They want to respond now to what you called them. What? Where'd you get that? No, and then they want to retaliate again. So learning to temper ourselves, to walk away when we should. Let me just real quickly talk about the difference between a discussion, argument, and a fight. Because I don't think we understand the difference in these things. A discussion is when we discuss, we talk about it. Let's say we both like balloons. Say, yeah, I like helium. Have you ever sucked that stuff in? Yeah, I sucked that stuff. Hey, that's bad for you, you know. You're talking about things. You're discussing. Argument is not bad. Argument is what we do in court. We argue our case. Arguing is simply not raising voices. We'll talk about that in a moment. Argument is simply, no, I think it's supposed to be this way. No, I think it works better this way. We have a difference in opinion, and we're going to negotiate and try to find out maybe what's right. I'm going to present why I think what I do, and you're going to present why you think you do, and it's argument. There's no fighting, no duking it out, no raised voices, no calling names. Okay, but what happens is argument escalates. Argument's good. It's part of life. It's good to be challenged that way. But we often, what we call arguing, you were arguing, is actually fighting. Fighting is when you start to raise voices, but you start to turn it now. You bring up the past. You bring up things behind them. You did. Now we're fighting. That's a fight. Even if you're not yelling, it's a fight. Because now you're not just taking facts and trying to prove some point. Now you're calling names. Now you're bringing up the past. Now you're demeaning and belittling and lifting yourself and putting them down. And it doesn't matter if you yell or use your fists or not. It's all a form of fighting. He's saying pursue peace. Argument is not wrong. Argument is not bad. We must argue. Even Jesus argued in the scriptures. You say, but... And he's making his points and his counterpoints. But fighting is wrong. We're not to fight each other. We're not. Now I'm talking individuals, not nations. I hope I made that distinction clear. Nations go to war. Governments must go to war. Even God said, hey, go fight these people. We're going to overtake them. That's governments and individuals who serve in the military that way will fight. But as individuals out here, outside of the battlefields, we're not supposed to be fighting each other. And to let things escalate is wrong. Argument, good. Because we want to take the scriptures and we want to go, here's what God's word says, here's where I'm standing, here's why I believe this, and they want to counter. Maybe they have nothing, you know, of the scriptures to defend their side. And so, obviously, when it comes to the scriptures, you have a clear winner. But... And then if they won't agree there, then to pursue peace, you move on. You say, look, okay, we're not going to win this argument. I got to move on then to pursue peace. You see the goal? Peace. I'm not going to escalate to fighting. Now that I know we've made sense and we are stuck here, we're going to move on. If it means we just move on from the discussion and we can still walk together, that's fine. But if it's something so big we can't even walk together, then we're not going to partner up in this business. We're not going to do this thing. We're not going to start this ministry together. Then you just move on for peace. That's how you pursue peace. Besides letting things go and pursuing peace, the author reminds the Hebrews that all of this is going on around them because they're being set apart. They're being separated. They're becoming holy. And the next thing we're to do, besides pursuing peace with all people, is to pursue holiness. We're no longer under the Levitical law. So when we say something like pursue holiness, sometimes we think, yeah, we're not supposed to do things to be holy. We're holy because the Lord is, and yet he says pursue holiness. See, we're not under the Levitical law, and things that we do don't make us holy. Oh no, the standard is actually much higher than that now when it comes to holiness. We have been called, even as New Testament Christians, to holiness. So we need to find out what that means. It simply means being set apart from the world. But here's the key for us. Israel was set apart because they did certain things. They didn't do certain things. It was in their actions. But in the New Testament, God talks about the heart. He says, it's not just what you do and don't do. Those are fruits. But what I'm saying is what you think and don't think. That's what makes you holy. That's what sets you apart. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23, so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So holiness and pursuing holiness is something that happens within the heart, on the inside. It's not about outward activity. That happens as a result of what's on the inside also. The way we dress, what we do to ourselves, it's because of something that's in here. They say, don't judge me by the way I dress. Well, you dress because of something in here. There's some need or some reason that you did that. Somewhere in your heart, you were directed or felt a need to do something like that. Why? What is it? There's something in the heart. So yes, you don't judge whether they're nice or not. Remember that, Christian. We're not judging whether someone's nice or not. There's nice people in gangs. I know, because when they get converted and they come out, they're some of the nicest people I've ever known. And I'm sure they're nice to some of the people on their side in wearing their colors. They're very nice. So we're not talking about nice and not nice. We're talking about something wrong in the heart. Something that's not calibrated properly on the inside as we're to pursue holiness. So it's not about an outward activity, it's about the heart, what's in your heart. And you know, changing your heart isn't just a matter of decision. You can change your activities. And what does happen when you make certain decisions to follow the Lord and you invest yourself, maybe it's in people that frustrate you or in things you thought you wouldn't like before, but you feel compelled, and so you do them. What happens is, in the process, your heart changes. What is it that really changes our heart, though? It's exposure. Exposure to things. It's who or what we're exposed to, our heart begins to go out to. If we're too close to the world and people caught up in sin or certain sins, our heart will begin to identify with them and go, hey, they're people. They're kind. Maybe this is okay. Maybe this is acceptable. Maybe we shouldn't be so hard on these things. Our heart begins to identify with them and to go out to them. I know the miracle of our hearts being changed by exposure because I hate cats. Hey, it's okay. You know, cats are fine, but in other people's homes. However, I have a cat. I didn't want a cat. I don't want a cat, but they came and they brought this poor, pathetic creature of a cat that had, you couldn't even tell it was a cat. It had so many fleas on it. And my wife, full of sympathy, brought this probably near death cat. I'm not even exaggerating. It was probably not going to live, it seemed like. It just was flea infested, very small, very tiny, like the runt of the litter. And she lovingly plucked all, washed, and I mean, just loved the cat. And so my heart changed a little bit. It's exposure. So my heart went out to my wife. The cat was still a cat, but it's a kitten. And you know, if you hate cats, some of us who don't like the cat so much, kittens, they're okay. But they grow into cats. So knowing this, we let the cat come, and I learned a lot about cats.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.